brute force. If it doesn't work, you're just not using enough. You're listening to Soft Web Radio, Special Operations Military News, and Straight Talk with the Guys in the Community.
SoftRep.com, on time, on target. We're live streaming this one. I'm Ian Scotto. James Powell in studio with me, former intelligence officer and Marine, writer for SoftRep.com. Thank you for coming over from the New Jersey, Philadelphia region.
Thank you for having me again, man.
Yeah, dude. It's always good having you in here.
Absolutely.
So I guess for the audience, they probably want to know what you've been up to, what you've been writing. You wrote some pieces in December, I saw.
Yep. The JP's Adventures in Spyland stuff, just some anecdotal stuff from my time when I was at the agency. It's pretty vague, but it's still fun because there's only certain things that I can say. But I'm actually working on the third part of it right now.
Nice.
Yeah, and then I'll wrap it up with something that kind of puts it all together.
So that'll be on SoftRep.com.
It will be.
I guess for the audience who hasn't seen those pieces, do you want to give like a little synopsis and teaser for them to check it out?
So and for anyone that's read it, it's, like I said, it's very general because I can't be specific about whether it was a training exercise or a real world situation. Mm-hmm. Those who have been in the business will know probably more than likely once they read it, but whether it's training exercise or it was real world, it all carries over one into the other. So basically it starts with me getting into an airport and sweating like it was 100 degrees out, because from the time that I got into that area to the time that I left, I knew that I was under observation and I could be arrested or detained at any time. So just talks about that, you know, the preparation that goes into that kind of stuff. Then something as simple as checking into my hotel room, you know, and getting into the hotel room. For other people, it might be, you know, simple. Hey, get my key, go to my room, you know, relax a little bit or whatever. But for me, and I was very new at the time that I was doing this, it was check into the room, get into the room, and then start prepping for what I had to do, my whole reason for being there. And so it was like, you know, I didn't do it, but it was like, you know, you see in the movies, you know, look out the door before you close it and then lock it, you know, lock the door. And that was a rule. Make sure your room is locked at all times. And then I started planning what I had to do. So for this, I had a series of meetings that I had to do. So I needed, you can't just go into this, you know, fly into countries or wherever you're at and just call somebody and say, hey, can we meet? I mean, you could if you really had to, but you really want to plan these things ahead of time. Mm-hmm. So the people that I was meeting with, were supposed to meet with, knew ahead of time that I was coming. So this was already pre-planned, but what wasn't planned was where and what time. So then you have to do legwork. You know, we call a map at first. Some people call it that. You know, I look at a map of the area that I'm in, which I had already looked at before, but I'm double checking it. Looking at possible places to meet. And then I go out in the streets and I'll walk around and, you know, get the lay of the land, get to know the city, the transportation, public transportation, those sorts of things, and try to pick a few spots that you know, might make sense. And I say make sense because you could pick like a restaurant across the street here and be like, oh, this is perfect. You know, signal that person or hit that person up, say, let's meet here at this time. And then you get there and they're not open for another 2 hours. So you're standing outside of this place in broad daylight, you know, waiting for this person. And then they're thinking it's at that time. So they show up. So now you have an intelligence officer and a possible asset, you know, in the same place at the same time. And if security, you know, forces are around, or police or an intelligence agency, well, now you just put two people together that become of interest. So now you're really going to be under observation. So there's that. So it was hours and hours of walking around this city, you know, and getting to know the city and getting to know different places. It also, I also talk about in the first one, I think it was the first one, might have been the second part, where there are certain don'ts when it comes to meetings. Like, you don't want to have a meeting where, number one, where there's a ton of cameras around. Although in some cities, especially now, that's hard to do. That's hard to avoid, I should say. You also don't want to have meetings in around schools, because I'm a 44-year-old guy, and if I'm standing around a school, that's going to cause an issue. Churches, you try to avoid too, because, you know, places of worship, people know each other. So if you're sitting in the parking lot waiting for a car pickup, you know, to pick up an asset or a possible asset, and people are like, who's that guy? I don't recognize him, you know, from church. Somebody could call the cops. You also don't want to have it near a police station or a military base or somewhere where there's going to be heightened security, banks, things like that. So you want to eliminate all those types of areas. So I talk about that a little bit. And once I had done all that, you know, I get back to my room. Okay, I've got some possible areas. I, you know, contact the person and say, hey, does this work for you? Or I'll give them a couple of choices. They can come back and say, hey, why don't we try this spot? Or the better thing is I pick and say, this is where we're going to meet at this time. You want to try to avoid as much as possible letting them control the meeting, the situation, because if for some reason, you know, they're a false, you know, they're not really going to work with you, they're trying to catch you, and they're working for the bad guys or the opposition, well, now you just let them tell you where to show up so that they can have, you know, roll you up. So it's that kind of stuff.
So we're streaming live on Facebook, on YouTube, on Twitch. Third part of this is going to be out. Mm-hmm. When are you thinking?
I'm in the middle of writing it now, so I would say by mid next week.
All right. So yeah, check that out from James Powell on softrep.com. If you're watching the live stream, you'll see that the title of this is the Winter Olympics in South Korea for 2018.
And before we go into that, I just want to put an apology out there. The last time I was here, I put out that if anybody needs, you know, because I do recruiting for Naval Intelligence, you can contact me and I'll do what I can.
There are people who really did.
Yeah. And there are some who I don't know whether I responded or not. So if I didn't, please hit me up again and I will be sure that I do. It's a separate account. And I don't always get alerts for that account, so I don't always know. I have to consciously go in and check it. So I apologize in advance if I didn't reply, or if I said, hey, I'll get back to you with this, and I didn't. Just hit me up again and remind me.
Well, where's the best place to reach you? Or should they send it to me?
Send it to you, and then you'll...
So send it to softrep.radio@softrep.com. We'll take any... Brad is asking where the Twitch link is. You know what? I'll send it right over. It's just, it's twitch.tv/softrepradio. I actually don't know a whole lot about Twitch yet.
I was just going to ask you, what is Twitch?
Yeah, Twitch, there seems to be a lot of gamers on there and stuff, but we're trying to reach like new audiences. Okay. So if you're on there, I still got to figure out more. Like, I don't know how to save our live videos. I would like to figure out how to do that. Yeah. On YouTube, it's automatically saved. On Facebook, it is. But as I said, we'll get into the South Korea stuff. Another really quick piece of news, I guess, to mention, though, and it's up on softrep.com and elsewhere. Eric Greitens, the Missouri governor, former Navy SEAL, now has allegations of an affair and, more seriously, blackmail over a nude picture. I don't know if you saw that.
I glanced at something about it on the train. But, yeah, it's, I mean... I think as people step into the spotlight of politics or, you know, whatever it is, Hollywood, whatever it is, you better make sure that either A, you're squeaky clean, or B, that you're ready to step out in front of this stuff. You know, like, you need to really sit down with your people and be like, listen, this is what I did when I was 18, or this is what I did last week. How are we going to get out in front of this stuff before it comes out? Because we see with the whole, Me Too hashtag, it's just exploding. So... It's better to get out in front of it.
It's weird, though, because it's changed a little bit with Donald Trump. I mean, people, when they saw that, the infamous Billy Bush video mm-hmm. come out, they were like, this is going to sink him.
Yeah.
And it did not.
Yeah.
The biggest victim in that thing, I think, was Billy Bush. Yeah. He didn't do anything. Yeah. I don't know how he lost his job. Like, I don't know what he was supposed to do.
Yeah.
He laughed at the president making a certain remark. And he went about his day. You know, like, I don't know. It's kind of weird that they would expect him to be like, you know, not Mr. President at the time, but Mr. Trump. That's inappropriate language.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't think anyone is going to say that. So, yeah, Billy Bush, he was definitely a victim in that. But, I think it's a changing time because you do have major outrage on both sides. You have, like, this huge anti-politically correct movement, mm-hmm. I would say, on the right. And then you have a incredibly politically correct movement on the left.
Absolutely.
And one of the big problems with the Me Too thing, I think, is that everything falls under one category. Mm-hmm. So, like, this guy once grabbed some woman's ass falls under mm-hmm. the same category as, like, a guy who raped and sexually assaulted someone.
Yeah.
Like, there's got to be a variation between these
things. Yeah, and I agree with that. First and foremost, I agree that none of that stuff is okay. I have two daughters, you know, and they know, you know, and anybody that knows me knows that you look at my daughter wrong and I'm whipping somebody's ass. But
yeah, you told the not for air story earlier today.
So as a father, that's, you know, and a husband, that stuff speaks, you know, very dearly. I don't think any of it's okay. But I agree, like you said, to put everything in one category, especially if that category holds the same punishment, then we're starting down a really slippery slope because I think I might have been talking to Jack about it. You can think back as a male, especially, and I'm sure there are some females, you can think back and be like, that probably could have counted as sexual assault. Anything.
Yeah.
You could have said to somebody, hey, you look really nice today. And if they felt like, you know, are you saying that because, you know, my dress is low cut? Or are you saying, you know, if they felt uncomfortable, well, now they can say that you I don't know if it would count as assault, but, you know, harassment or something like that. And so, you know, I think it's a slippery slope. Do I think it needs to stop? Like, oh, we just stop talking about it and stop dealing with it? No, absolutely not. It should be an ongoing thing.
Yeah. Actually, a few months back, Rick Unger was in here doing the Power of Thought, former CEO of Marvel. And he was saying, like, look, there is a difference between some of the bad stuff we've heard. And then also he was saying, like, former President Bush, you know, saying some maybe lewd comment. Yeah. He's like with his wife there.
Yeah.
Did you really feel threatened by this man in a wheelchair? You know, so it's an interesting thing.
Yeah.
But getting into the gist of what we did want to talk about and what I know you wanted to talk about, we are 1 month away from the Winter Olympics being held in Pyeongchang, South Korea. And related to that, North Korea has agreed to send a delegation there to hold talks in Seoul to ease military tensions. So I just wanted to hear your take on all of this, on you know, the tension between North Korea and the U.S., North Korea and South Korea. It's a really strange time to be holding the Winter Olympics anywhere in Korea.
Absolutely. Yeah, it is. I think that it's a good thing that they're holding it there. It's always a good thing for any country when, you know, you're chosen to hold the Olympics. It's supposed to bring people together, the world together. So I think it's a good thing. And I think it's being held, for me, it's at the right time because with all of this tension, this is an opportunity, as we see, to maybe ease that a little bit. Having said that, from when I first started hearing about this and then researched it a little bit and looked it up, my overarching question, which I still haven't answered, is what is North Korea giving up by doing this? You know, what are they, you know, if we sit across the table from one another, I'm South Korea, you're North Korea. South Korea, I think, has already agreed to suspend their pushback, their military exercises with the U.S. I think it's till April or something like that. That sort of thing. And what is North Korea really giving up? They've already said before they even sat down, we are not going to stop pursuing our nuclear arsenal. We're just not. So that's off the table. They didn't even want to talk about that. So it seems to me they're gaining more than they're getting, but that doesn't mean that the talk shouldn't be held. I think the South Korean president, he's, from the reports that I've seen, people are going to start saying that he's kowtowing to North Korea, which is, you know, it's a dangerous thing. He did run on the platform that I am, you know, I'm going to push for talks with North Korea. Great. He did what he said he was going to do. But now he's got to be careful about what is South Korea and the United States getting out of this. I don't even know if maybe, you know, I don't even know if the U.S. is going to have anybody at these talks or has anybody
at these talks.
Maybe one of the listeners knows. But I think that as an from the intelligence side of the house, we would want to know going in. And I'm sure we would sit down with our South and have sat down with our South Korean counterparts and found out what they have on their agenda, what their talking points are. And then does anyone know what North Korea's talking points are going to be? People would think, oh, it's just a list, you know, it's just a piece of paper. But if you can, you know, ahead of time what your opposition is going to want to talk about, you can better maneuver yourself into a position of power. So that's a pretty important thing. So it'll be interesting to see what comes of this.
Yeah, when you're talking about the U.S. being there or not being there, from what I still remember back with the Bush administration, and you'd hear, you know, we do not negotiate with terrorists. I remember even some pushback with getting the journalists back, which I know it was Ling. Was it Lisa Ling or Laura Ling? I know they're sisters.
I think it was her sister, Laura.
Laura Ling was the sister. Yeah, and I remember Bill Clinton having to take photos with, was it Kim Jong-il at the time or Kim Jong-un?
I think it was Il.
Yeah, I think it was Il.
Yeah.
I think that was prior to Il passing. And I remember that was a highly controversial thing, you know, because it puts him in a position of power to take these pictures with a former president.
Yeah.
And it is weird. They demand interesting things.
Yeah. Like
to take a picture with a former president. Yeah. You know, what exactly do you get out of that? Yeah. you know, it's just much like, what do you get out of bringing Dennis Rodman over there?
Yeah.
I just always think of that narrative of we don't negotiate with terrorists. Mm-hmm. And, like, would the U.S. really want to sit down at a table with this guy's threatening to use nuclear weapons?
I think at the end of the day that it would be not a waste of time, but I think it would go right just back to square one, or maybe, you know, square half. We might get a little something out of it. But I think North Korea, at the end of the day, this is going to be a, hey, we tried kind of thing. We're just going to go back to what we're doing. And I know that a lot of people were freaking out because President Trump said, you know, he took credit for it. He said, this is because of me that, you know, these talks are happening. And It is because of him. Do I agree with how we got to this point? No. I mean, say whatever you want. You know, I'm a patriot. I'm this, I'm that. You know, we need to be tough with them. And, you know, that's great. That's all well and good. But at the end of the day, what does it actually do? I mean, it's like when my kids were little and they would throw a tantrum and you go to pick them up and they stiffen up. You know, they're like, you know, they're like dead weight. That's exactly what North Korea has done. They listen, they see the tweets, they just entrench themselves even further. Not saying that we shouldn't, like, we should talk to them with kid gloves or you shouldn't be like that. Don't be. No, not at all. But that'll only go so far. You know, it's got to be in addition to our intelligence work, diplomacy. Diplomacy is going to be the most important piece of this puzzle.
Well, the only talks that we've seen really is, you know, the tweets of Trump, and then of course Un calling President Trump a dotard, which had people Googling what is a dotard.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, that it's a lot of name calling back and forth. There's, you know, it's a very strange time.
It is. It really is. It's. I think now that you know, Korea or North Korea aside, the Twitter is going to be the thing now, I think. And it'll be Twitter diplomacy. But I believe that diplomacy, period, that is the key to this whole thing. And in diplomacy, you can say, hey, we want to work with you, but if you get out of hand, you're getting smacked. You know, that sort of thing. We can fly B-1s over, you know, near the DMZ and all. What do we want to do? Those things, who am I? But I don't have a problem with that. It shows, hey, we have the capability, but that can't be the only thing we rely on. And I believe General Mattis said that exact same thing. Can't be the only thing that we rely on.
Yeah, well said. I'm looking at some of the comments here. Like I said, like this if you're watching on Facebook, share it, whether you're watching on YouTube, Twitch. We want to get our visibility up on all platforms. And I see right here Mike Mackey is saying it's great that they're both talking about the Winter Games, but I don't seriously think we can trust the North fully, judging by past actions. But as a Scotsman, which, you know, we have people watching from all over, as a Scotsman, maybe I'm just unfairly judging, but I can't take anyone with a haircut like Kim Jong-un that he can be trusted ever.
I agree that we can't trust, fully trust North Korea when it comes to this because of, you know, past instances. But again, I think we at least need to take, I'm saying we, but it's South Korea that's holding the talks. We at least need to take these steps. That way we can say at the end of the day, we have done everything that we could possibly do. As far as haircut's concerned, yes, I get it. However, we've seen the other side of that haircut too, and it's orange. But so, yeah, I mean, yes, we always, it's, you know, trust but verify. You know, you always want to be looking over your shoulder when it comes to this stuff.
I see that a friend of yours who will be a future guest on the podcast.
Oh, I knew she was going to pop up.
Former CIA Shannon Miller is watching. Not to my knowledge, we don't have representation in North Korea. Oh, so that answers our question. Yep. However, it is very common for Switzerland's delegation to act as a liaison or a mediate. In this case, there were five senior officials from North Korea and South Korea. As for how the talks came about, it appears to have been handled directly between the two governments. There, so that answers that.
What is that?
Getting into Pakistan, though. So Pakistan suspends military and intelligence cooperation with the U.S. And then related to that, on January 5th, the U.S. also suspended an undisclosed amount of security aid until Islamabad takes what they call decisive action against all terrorist groups. With Pakistan suspending military and intelligence cooperation with the U.S., it's funny, I shot that over to Jack Murphy, and he was like, yeah, not a big loss there. And I'm guessing you echo those
absolutely
sentiments.
Not. I mean, I knew it was coming. I'm sure most knew that it was coming, especially after the comments by the president, you know, by President Trump about their lack of cooperation with us, to put it lightly. And it's true that, you know, it's, if you put two and two together with things that have happened in Afghanistan and Pakistan in that region, you could, you know, it could be argued that, hey, Pakistan, you're not pulling your weight, or you purposely turned your back on this, or you're facilitating this. So as of yesterday, when I was looking all this stuff up and, you know, making phone calls and all that, it may have changed by this morning, but the U.S. Embassy, or the State Department, is saying that they got no formal message saying that Pakistan was suspending their military and intelligence cooperation. Apparently, it was part of a speech, or it was said in at a summit that happened a few days ago or a week or so or whatever it was. But there was no confirmation officially from U.S. State Department as of yesterday. Whether that's changed or not, I don't know. But again, I knew it was coming, and as Jack said, I don't think it's really that big a loss.
And I think it's been coming ever since the you know, the capturing and killing of Osama bin Laden. Mm-hmm. I think when we learned that Pakistan did not help us in any way with that intelligence, that was a big wake up call and a huge just alarm for the American people.
Yeah,
is this an ally?
Yeah, I mean, we poured a lot of money into Pakistan, and it was kind of like a, you know, your security system. It's like, hey, security company, here's all my money up front for you to do your job. And then the, you know, the security company says, thank you, takes the money, turns off the lights and goes home, you know, or lets the burglars in. Not necessarily saying, hey, burglars, you can go in, but turns their back on it. So at some point you have to say, you're not getting my money, you're not getting my help until you do your job. So, you know, I knew it was coming. I personally don't believe it'll last, because we do need allies in that region, and, you know, whether it's, you know, fair weather allies or not, we need them, you know. And India, there, you know, there's the tension between Pakistan and India, so we need to have our fingers in both pies there, you know, in order to keep that sort of peace, because they just had an incident about a week and a half or so ago, where Indian forces crossed the controlled area. And why it's blanking on me, I don't know. I'm sure someone can can tell me the disputed area and killed a few Pakistani troops in retaliation for what they say was a cross-border attack. So not that things are necessarily heating up there, because they've always been, you know, hot over there. But we need to have a presence, whether it's political or whatever, in that area, just to keep somebody from pressing a button and killing everybody. So,
you know what? I'd like to hear you get into, you know, why you think we do need a presence, just from your experience, mm-hmm. because there's always people with the less interventionist foreign policy, mm-hmm. and it's always an argument made of, why do we need bases everywhere? Yeah. Why do we need a presence on every end of the globe?
Yeah.
What would you say?
So I think we need to look at the two ends of the spectrum there, where there's one end, there's nothing. We have no presence, no military, no diplomatic, no anything. The other is we have bases everywhere in that region and embassies everywhere in that region. And I think when I say presence, I mean, at the very least, we should have an intelligence presence there. Obviously, that's not something that's going to be advertised, but we need to know what's going on. We can't have blind spots in the world. We can't. No country, you know, worth their salt will want blind spots. So we need to have an intelligence presence. Even if we don't have an embassy there, which I think should go hand in hand with that intelligence presence. So if we have an intelligence presence and a diplomatic presence there, that would be enough. Icing on the cake would be bases in the area, in that region, just in case something happens, you know, and we need to respond militarily. We're not then having to fly all the way from Germany or from, you know, somewhere else, you know, across the globe. But in that area, we're talking Afghanistan, you know, that sort of region where we've been there forever and we see the results. Well, we're not seeing the results. So, you know, I think at the very least, intelligence, a diplomatic presence, whether that's embassy, consulate, whatever it is, and go from there.
Are you someone who believes that we should have military bases throughout the globe? I'm not just talking about in the Middle East. No. Okay.
No, I think that we have bases in regions that can cover other regions. Now, if it's unrealistic, you know, to fly troops, or it's not economical to fly troops from wherever we have a base closest to that region to wherever the hotspot is, then maybe we want to think about it. But then there's a whole host of other things that go, and I'm not at the, you know, 50,000 foot level where I can say this is what goes into it. But I think we need to, if we don't have a diplomatic presence, it'll be hard to establish a base there without some sort of a conflict that involves us. Like, I don't think we could just, you know, put troops in, or a base in, I don't know, let's say South Africa, for instance, there's no reason to, mm-hmm. you know, right now. So I don't believe we need them all over the world until we need them all over the world.
Interesting, man. I actually wanted to get your take on something completely unrelated.
Okay.
The whole Oprah 2020
debacle. Yeah.
What are your feelings, Mr. Powell?
I just said to somebody the other day, if she runs and says, you know, you get $1 million, you get $1 million, and I'm one of those yous, then fine. But that's not going to happen. Yeah. And so on the serious part of it, if she ran in 2020, there's no way I'm voting for her.
Do you think it's setting a crazy precedent now that we're having, you know, people who do not have prior experience? You know, it used to be you have to be a governor and then you become the president. Yeah. Now it is, especially if you go from a Trump presidency mm-hmm. to Oprah Winfrey presidency, I think all of that is out the window.
Yeah.
And I mean, which is a scary thing.
Yeah.
If you can, I want someone who's able to navigate Washington.
If I can, it's scary when, if I know who you are from TV, you're now qualified to run for president. That's just crazy. I think, though, first of all, I don't believe she would win if she did run. But someone said it on the radio this morning that if her running can bring can highlight issues that the Democratic, you know, that the Democrats want highlighted, well, that works for them, even if she doesn't win. You know, I detest politics, period, so it doesn't matter to me, but I don't think she would win, and I most certainly would not vote for her.
Yeah, no, interesting one. I just know that people have been going, you know, back and forth on Twitter about this whole thing, so I wanted to hear your take.
Yeah. Well, something else, too, with that is I didn't listen to her whole speech the other night.
I didn't listen to any of it.
Yeah, I didn't. I just saw what somebody put on, what was on the news. But it was interesting that literally right after she made that speech, there were pictures of her popping up with Harvey Weinstein from last year. If the timestamp on these things are true. So again, we just talked in the beginning about, you know,
Eric Wright.
Yeah, Wright, and you know, that sort of thing. If you know that you're going to put yourself out there by making these speeches or running for president, whatever you're going to do, just make sure you check your Twitter history, your Facebook, all of that, because somebody's going to pull something up to try to, you know, to counter what you're doing or saying.
Yeah. So. Johnny Rael watching on YouTube. Will Pakistan government prevent us from going through Pakistan to Afghanistan?
I am not the expert on that, but... no, I don't believe so. They've kept, despite what the headlines say about the suspending the military and intelligence cooperation, if that becomes official, if it is official, from what I understand, they've kept open the air lines of communication and the, I believe it's land lines of communication, LLOC and ALOC, something like that, or GLOC, ground lines of communication. So that's supply routes, if I'm not mistaken. I'm sure there's logistics people that can talk better to it than me. But those things have remained open. There was no talk of those closing. So I think that's the hint that, no, they wouldn't prevent us from doing whatever we have to do in Afghanistan.
Good question from Johnny. If you have any others, shoot them through. So I guess other than that piece that you were saying, the third piece in the series, do you have anything else that you're planning on writing for the site that people should be on the lookout for?
There was one piece. It was Purple Dragon. I don't know if anybody out there can talk about it. I'm sure Jack can. But it was something I stumbled across. It was the predecessor, if I'm remembering correctly, of red teaming that we do today. You know, hey, we have a software program, or we have a military exercise we want to do. These are the people who would come in as the bad guys or the devil's advocate and say, hey, you know, what about this? Or if we do this, how are we going to react? Or if they do this, how are we going to react? So Purple Dragon, there's more detail to it, which I'll find out than this, was the predecessor of that during the Vietnam War. So I'm going to be researching that and trying to do some writing on that. Then while I'm out at SHOT Show, and I hope to see some of you guys out there,
yes,
in Vegas, I'll be doing a lot of writing out there too. So
nice.
Yep.
Is that like your time away from the family to be able to like focus on?
Yeah, yeah.
And it's also funny to hear that in Vegas. Like, Vegas is where you get wild, not where you
I don't
sit
drink.
Down and write.
And if I That's gambled, right. I my wife would probably be like, you might as well stay out there because you just lost all our money. So that'll be my time to relax a little bit and be able to actually sit in front of the keyboard and, you know, get some stuff out. And it's funny because it brings up a funny little story. Last year at SHOT, there's a right, you know, the press room.
Yeah.
So I'm in the press room and Jack's sitting on one side of me and Desiree was sitting on the other, and I'm typing and I just happen to glance up and there's a guy, and I think I might have put it on Facebook, one of them, or it might have gone on Twitter. There's a guy, older gentleman. He had his back to me on his computer. Well, when I looked up, this guy was surfing bodybuilder females, like in various states of undress. Yeah. And I'm dying because this guy's just wide open, not even trying to hide it. He's just clicking along. So I snapped a little picture of it. And so maybe I'll do
where
that.
Where did that go?
What's that? I think it went on Twitter. I'm not sure, but maybe I'll do that this year. I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah. So for our West Coast soft rep readers and soft rep radio listeners, we'll be there for SHOT Show, mm-hmm. which is right around the corner. Mm-hmm. I'll be there. You'll be there. We're saying Jack Murphy.
BK will be there.
BK, the Odyssean. Mm-hmm. Be sure not to say his real name.
Yeah. Frumentarius.
Yeah. Yeah, and if the Odyssean's there, maybe he'll be wearing his Lucha Libre mask. Yeah. As I said, I don't know. I was surprised he even came in studio and did the podcast because he's pretty secretive about his identity. Yeah. And that was my, I guess, compromise to him was like put on the mask.
Yeah, I hold that over his head. So if I don't get my box of chocolates this month, guess who's getting outed? buddy.
So as a reminder for all of those who are listening and watching on the live stream, for a limited time, you can receive a 50% discounted membership to SofRep TV, our channel that offers the most exclusive shows, documentaries, and interviews covering the most exciting military content today. SofRep TV's premier show, Training Cell, follows former Special Operations Forces as they participate in the most advanced training in the country, everything from shooting schools, defensive driving, jungle and winter warfare, climbing, and much more. Again, you can watch this content by subscribing to SofRep TV. That's at SofRepTV.us and take advantage of a limited time offer of 50% off your membership, only $4.99 a month. Which is interesting because Drew Wallace is in town. Mm-hmm. He runs all the SofRep TV stuff. So maybe I'll see him while he's in New York. Mm-hmm. And if you haven't gotten a chance to check out the SofRep Crate Club, you're definitely going to want to do that ASAP. It's a subscription to get a box of badass tactical and survival gear delivered to your door every month. Here's the kicker. All of the gear is handpicked and tested by former special ops guys, so you know you're getting quality gear that's going to work when you need it to. Crates you've sent in the past have included gear like custom knives, multi-tools, fire starters, EDC med kits, and other kick-ass stuff. You don't just get great gear with your subscription. You're also supporting a veteran-owned and run company. To subscribe and start getting your gear, visit crateclub.us. So check that out right now, crateclub.us. We also have gift options available, crateclub.us. And team room party, January 22nd, Las Vegas, 6 p.m. If you're a team room member, if you're a premium Crate Club member, you are invited. You probably got the invite via email. There's an RSVP up on the site that the Odyssean posted. So we hope to see you guys there, the West Coast crew. I'm so used to seeing the East Coast guys. Yeah. So yeah, it'll be cool to see all of you. As we're wrapping things up here, I see a question from Michael Wangsgaard. Do you think North Korea would look to do something under the cover of the Olympics? Loosely based example, Russia and Ukraine with Crimea.
Again, I'm not the expert on that, but
How dare you?
No. Yeah, yeah. Shannon, help me out here. So I don't believe that if we're talking the Russia-Crimea thing on that scale, I don't believe so, no. Because of, you know, you're seeing the headlines that say, you know, we're training our troops, our army troops now to fight in tunnels, all that stuff. So they know we're making the preparations. We've been making them, but they know now it's that much more heightened. So I don't see that. Do I see them trying to take advantage from an intelligence standpoint? Absolutely. I mean, now you're going to have delegations from all over the world. So now, you know, say, you know, little Jane, who's a gymnast, her dad is a diplomat or something like that. He's of interest. Let's try to get somebody next to Jane, that sort of thing. So Any intelligence agency worth its salt is going to try to take advantage of that. So that's that on that level. Yes, I believe so. Militarily, I don't think so. I don't even know if, unless in the next, you know, month or so, somebody says something foolish, I don't even think we're going to see a missile launch. I think that was the big scare or concern, was that they're going to, you know, test these missiles during the Olympics. It'll, you know, heighten everything and all that stuff. I don't believe we'll see that unless one side or the other does something or says something foolish. Then they'll be like, you know what? Then fine, we'll just launch a missile, you know. Mm. So
I see another question here on YouTube. Do you think the CIA focuses more on your background or more on current capability?
I guess I can't really ask whoever, but more on my background or current capability. They really only care about your background for two reasons, as far as in my experience. One is when you're initially being hired or vetted to be hired, they care about it, you know, because they want to know that you're not being directed against the agency. And two, they care about it because your background helps determine what job you go into, where they send you, and your current capabilities. You're always training. They're always sending you to a language school or, just different training. And you will also do that on your own. So your current capabilities will enhance your background. So they'll use those things. From a CI, from a counterintelligence standpoint, yes, they care about your background throughout your career. Absolutely. Your current capabilities, not so much from a CI standpoint. They really care about your current lifestyle. You know, it's like, hey, has this guy, you know, has James come into a ton of money all of a sudden when we're paying him this much? And now he's, you know, got rolling with $1 million in the bank. Where'd it come from? That sort of thing. But hopefully that answers that question.
Absolutely. I see that Shannon jumped in here again. I think this is referring to earlier. If they did, it would be quietly done. Do I think they'll send in intelligence officers? Without a doubt. Okay, so this is about the Olympics. Mm-hmm. I guarantee some of their athletes and or family members are involved in intelligence and will be there.
I agree.
Perfect to gather intel under cover of the games. I would be most countries are doing the same. So I guess you're saying I think most countries. Yeah. I would bet most countries are doing the same.
Absolutely. I agree.
GKS Daily writes, the U.S. deployed 3 B-2 Spirits to Guam the other day. I wonder if the DPRK will have a response from that.
Again, I have to preface that I am not the expert, but I don't think so. I think they're used to
it. You know
what's
funny? I do appreciate that you guys always do that. We were talking about that last episode with Jack. Because if you look on mainstream media... Yeah. People claim to be an expert on pretty much everything. Yeah. So I do love the fact that soft rep writers like all kind of stay in their lane of what they do and are only going to speak on what they know.
Absolutely. So. And I can give my opinion on anything, but...
Did you listen to the last episode? This is exactly what Jack said.
No.
Jack was like, if you want to hear me ramble my opinions on things, I can do that all day.
Yeah, I will definitely give my opinion, but don't take it as gospel unless it's something that I experience myself. Other than that... You know, I can't say. That's why I keep calling on Shannon, which I'm probably going to owe her money now, you know, because that wasn't my bailiwick. That wasn't my thing. So, but diplomacy is politics. It's throughout the world. It's culturally, it's different, but overall, it's pretty much the same. So if you've done it in one spot, you've done it in a million.
Well, speaking of which, Shannon will be a future guest. Always good having you on, man. Thanks for taking the trip in studio.
Of course. Absolutely.
Always like seeing you. You know, I'm going to do a power of thought right after this with legendary recording engineer John King.
Yeah.
So if you're around and you're watching this, you're in the office or something, tune into Brandon Webb's page. And the SoftRep TV YouTube will be doing, and Twitch will be doing another power of thought with John King. Legendary owner of Chung King Studios. That about does it for this week. Thanks to all of you who tuned in. Like it, share it. Next episode, Jack Murphy should be back here. And Andrew Wilkow, the great Andrew Wilkow, will be in studio because he's got a TV show coming up on CRTV, Conservative Review. I'm excited, you know, to have him in here. I've worked with Andrew for many years. Mm-hmm. And someone's calling me, very unprofessional of me. And this will be the first time he's been on in a long time. He was on via Skype, and I haven't worked with Andrew since May. I've seen him, but it's weird going this long, you know, without working in radio. It's like I'm stuck in a room with three guys. It was me, Mike Binns, and Andrew at all times.
Awesome.
So, it's awesome, but at the same time, like, even though I love those guys...
Yeah.
The smallest thing will get on your nerves. It's almost like a marriage. It's not like a typical job where you see dozens of people or you're working by yourself at home. You're just working with these two guys every day.
Yeah.
And so I'm excited to have Andrew back in here. And I'm excited to have Andrew back on TV because he's a great guy. He was working at another network that I won't mention. And, you know, he's doing big things. So thanks to all you guys for tuning in. And we love hearing your feedback. Leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at SoftRep Radio. You should give out your Twitter. I think your Instagram is private, right? But your Twitter.
Yeah. At JPowell1192.
Follow James on Twitter at JPowell1192. Mm-hmm. And unless you're plugging anything else.
No, I mean, I just appreciate being here and. You know, giving my 2 cents on things and from hearing from everybody, I know that the last shot, people would I guess, recognize me, although they really didn't know what I look like. But like I always like to say, I'm one of the few chocolate chips in the soft rip cookie, so it's not hard to pick me
up. Probably the only.
Yeah.
Technically.
Nick, I mean, Irving.
Yeah, but he's not like a regular writer, yeah. So.
So I'll take that mantle. So it's nice to actually talk to people face-to-face or even just an email. Like when I get these emails, whether it's about resumes or whatever it is, it's nice to interact with people because trust me, I'm no lofty celebrity. I'm no celebrity at all. So
no,
I'm easy to get to. So,
and the last thing I should say is the last time I saw you was Jack Murphy's wedding.
Yep.
Great time awesome had by time. All. What did you think of Jim West's best man speech?
Oh my gosh. First of all, the fact that he has 18 different variations of Benny's name,
oh
of
my God.
Jack's Bernadette. Wife's name. I loved it. Because he is so genuine. He is, he will, as my, you know, one of my relatives likes to say, whip somebody's monkey ass, but he's just a great guy. Like you could, my wife was in awe talking to him. She absolutely loved him. I love him. It was great. The wedding itself was awesome.
I was surprised by how nice it was. And I said to Jack, because of the fact that he got engaged that summer,
yeah.
And then a few months later, they had a wedding. So yeah. I figured this would be a really small affair. Yep. And not that it was big, as you were saying, but it was a really nice venue.
Yes.
It must have been like a huge, you know, deal to plan that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was not expecting something of that stature.
Absolutely. It was awesome. And, you know, the people that I met, friends of his and everything, they were awesome. It was a great, great time.
Yeah, it was a lot of guys from the community were there. Brandon Webb was there. Mm-hmm. The Odyssean was in attendance.
Yep.
With his Lucha Libre mask on. And Joey L., photographer, mm-hmm. he was there. He signed, if you see me pointing, he signed the Who Dares Wins print.
Yep.
So a lot of cool guys from the
absolutely.
Community.
Yeah. And I think it was a side of Jack a lot of people don't know about. Like, my wife still talks about, you know, when he came in to come down the aisle and he was with his daughter. And that was pretty awesome.
Yeah.
You know, that was that's a side of Jack people don't see. We call him J. Jonah Jameson, you know, Spider-Man's cranky boss. But that's not Jack. Yeah. He's just an awesome guy.
And it, you know, they kind of addressed it during the wedding. It's funny that this, you know, more liberal-minded journalist, I would say, mm-hmm. from Italy marries this SF, you know, guy, Army Ranger. Mm-hmm. Regardless of what people think of the site, I would say a more conservative guy. Mm-hmm. Like, and the cool thing about it, though, is how many couples do you meet who go into war zones and report on stories.
Exactly.
And they don't even do it together.
No.
She goes by herself, you know? He's told me before that there's guys in the media who have said, like, oh, could you help me get some, like, SF guys to come mm-hmm. out with me if I'm going to Iraq or, you know, Kurdistan?
Yep.
And in his head, he's told me, he's like, you pussy. Like,
my girlfriend
at the time goes there by herself. Yeah. Like, come on, dude.
Benny is awesome. She is.
She's a badass.
She is. She's great. And again, she's a badass, but she is just a sweetheart. She's very genuine. Yes. They're a great fit. They're an awesome fit.
I agree. All right. With that, thank you very much, guys, for checking it out once again. And we'll talk to you all soon. Shoot over your email, softrep.radio@softrep.com. And we are out.
You've been listening to Soft Rep Radio. New episodes up every Wednesday and Friday. For all of the great content from our veteran journalists, join us and become a Team Room member today at softrep.com. Follow the show on Instagram and Twitter at Soft Rep Radio. And be sure to also check out the Power of Thought podcast, hosted by Hurricane Group CEO and Navy SEAL sniper instructor, Brandon Webb.